You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Buffalo Bill, Andre Reed. You're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circle the Wagons podcast on Buffalo Rumbling Podcast Network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for joining us. It was a crazy first week of free agency. Well, not crazy. We'll talk about our thoughts on the free agency process. Were we happy with it? Were we not happy with it? We're going to go through each one of the transactions that's happened, whether someone left for another team or whether they were signed by the Bills or whether they were extended. We're going to go through all of that this week. But first and foremost, this episode is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. If you're in the Western New York or Central New York area, head on down the thruway to exit 41, get off the Waterloo exit, and go right over to the DeLago Resort and Casino. It's a great time. I can't imagine how crazy it must have been for March Madness this past weekend, just with all the upsets and everything going on. I mean, March Madness is a great time, even if you're not a college basketball fan like I'm not. Excited to go there. I'm taking my wife on a date night there in a few weeks go over to the steakhouse there. So we're excited about that. But first, we have a lot of Bills discussion to talk about. So I'm joined now by my co-host, John. John, first week of free agency. How the heck are you doing?
Doing amazing. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So let's just get this all out as far as your overall thoughts on free agency. I put a poll up on Twitter, and the thought was, you know, the Bills free agency has been either A, great, B, meh, or C, subpar. So if you were to say great, meh, or subpar, which category do you fit into as a Bills fan?
I would say good.
Good, not great.
I think you needed another category between great and meh.
Why do you feel like that? This isn't. In my head, at least, real quick, is that the thought of the fan base is they're okay with it, but they're not excited about it, and that might just be coming down from last year's super high expectations. So part of us is there's still the letdown of last season, and like, no, we're going through this again. We're losing players that we really like, but and we know we don't have a ton of money. Like some of that, I feel. Goes into that, but let me know why you think it's been good for the Bills.
Well, if you're one of the better teams in the NFL, it's almost impossible to be great for that type of question because you already have really great players, right? Like the Chiefs and the Bengals, like all these Eagles, like free agency, like because they're already really good, so like you're not gonna make these huge splash plays. To make it to the next level, they're already at the next level. So I almost think that like great, maybe instead of having great, it should be good. And the reason I think it's good is because they re-signed Jordan Poyer. Like that's what makes it good.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go into, so I agree with what you're saying when you're at that level, at the high level of the Buffalo Bills, as far as the talent on their roster, it's hard to go from that to be like, oh my God, like last season, I thought the Bills had a great roster, but then they swung for the fences and got Von Miller. So I think we all knew and Bean said this going into the offseason, that there wasn't going to be a splash signing like that. And right now, as of the time we're recording this Sunday evening, that has not happened, and we don't expect it will happen with the cap restrictions. But I agree. I'm more of the, I don't think it was great, but I think it was how I thought it was going to go. I think they upgraded a couple of positions. I think they downgraded a couple of positions. And I think they have some promising players that, you know, are interesting and we're about to get into. But John, you just mentioned the Jordan Poyer resigning. I was going to ask you, what was your favorite, you know, move in free agency thus far? And that has to be at yours. And I think at the top of most Bills fans, don't you think?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm really happy to see the Poyer Micah Hyde combination for at least another year. I think that's going to be huge in trying to continue with this, you know, Super Bowl window that they got going right now. So I think it's great.
Yeah, the safety net is back for one more season. And I think that, and I'm with you 100%, Jordan Poyer was my favorite move. Him getting extended, re-signed, was my favorite move, a two-year extension. It wasn't that bad. I mean, we were looking at, you know, Pro Football Focus's contract extension thoughts, and they were thinking he was going to get 2 years, $8.5 million per year, and he ended up getting closer to 2 years, you know, $6 to $7 million a year. So it's like 6 point something million per year, but if he hits bonuses, it goes a little over seven. But still, that's lower than what the market or what people valued him at. And I think a lot of it had to do with age, but at the same point, it's like the age doesn't matter as much when you're re-signing your own guys because he already knows the system. He doesn't have to pick up a whole new system. He doesn't have to learn a whole bunch of new players. Like, he knows all of the players on the back seven for the most part, and minus Tremaine Edmonds leaving, which we'll talk about in a minute. Like, all those players are the same. It's still Taron Johnson in the nickel corner. It's still, you know, either Dane Jackson, Kyir Elam, Christian Benford at corner, and then Tre'Davious White on the other side, and Mike on the other. I mean, that's consistency, which is worth, in my opinion, every penny when it comes down to that. So I think I was happy for the consistency portion of it, and I don't think the age matters as much from that standpoint. He battled a lot of injuries, and I don't think they were age-related injuries. I think they were freak injuries, and he battled through it. I mean, he's Buffalo through and through, even though he mentioned on that one podcast that, you know, somebody asked him, if you couldn't stay in Buffalo, where would you like to go? And, you know, we all made a big deal out of it because he's like, it'd be nice to go to some place warm that has less taxes than New York State. It's like, dude, John, as a New York State resident, you know, don't you ever think about stuff like that? Like, I know I think about it every year around this time when it's cold out and there's less sun than ever. Like, in the summertime, I love, you know, upstate New York is one of the best places, you know, the country to be. But like at this time of year, it's like, yeah, you know, in my head, I'm like, especially I'm doing taxes right now. It'd be nice if there were less taxes and it'd be nice if, you know, it was a little bit warmer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the seasons, the taxes thing. Definitely. I'll think about from time to time. But yeah, like the other thing to think about too, with the roster is like the depth at safety, right? So not only do they get a starter back, but like the depth already isn't great. We're hoping that DeMar Hamlin's going to be good to go for next season. But after that, like right now, Dean Marlowe's a free agent. Jaquan Johnson's a free agent. They don't really have much behind them right now at all. So that feels really, having a starter there feels a huge need.
Yeah, absolutely. It fills an immediate need, and it gives them depth for at least another year because Micah Hyde is only signed through 2023, and then we'll see if he gets extended or if that's the end of the safety net. So let's talk about the most disappointing move in free agency, which I think, you know, one of the reasons why I thought the Poyer signing was so good is because the Bills lost Tremaine Edmonds, which is something that we discussed, you know, a couple of weeks ago, last week or the week before, where, you know, we're talking about, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, PFF, I think, knocked it out of the park. I think they said 4 years, $72 million contract, and that's exactly what he got with the Chicago Bears. Again, I really like Tremaine Edmonds. I know some folks loved him. I was not one of those folks. I think that you might be able to upgrade the position, maybe not immediately, but maybe over time. And, you know, Lavonte David, my guy that I wanted them to re-sign or to sign in general, he went back to the Bucs, so that didn't happen. But I think that was the most disappointing thing for me. We just talked about consistency, and you lose the guy that's been, you know, the captain of the defense for five seasons. And he was a, you know, really good athlete, super young. And, you know, the Bears are signing him thinking he's going to be as good and he's probably going to get better over the next 4 years. You know, good for them. They had a ton of cap space to work with, and they got that guy. I didn't think he was going to re-sign with the Bills, and he didn't. It's disappointing, but, you know, and it leaves a huge hole on our defense. But, you know, that's what happens when you're this cap strong and you have Josh Allen as your quarterback. You can't re-sign all your really good players, you know?
Yeah, it's really tough. Like, on one hand, you got, you know, especially this last year, Milano and Edmonds felt like another Poyer and Hyde, really. It's tough to see him go, but there's no way they're going to be able to match that offer. And they have so many defensive stars. You know, we can mention Poyer and Hyde, but we got Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, Von Miller. You got all these guys. You're not going to be able to keep all of them. And then, of course, obviously Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs on the offense. But yeah, like they did resign Tyrell Dodson and Tyler Medicavich. They have Terrell Bernard, which was a rookie this past year. I don't know if they're going to bring in another free agent or not. I know I mentioned Anthony Walker a week or two ago. He's still available. But yeah, that'll definitely be one of the top two or three needs, I think, going forward.
I'd be surprised if they don't bring in maybe one more veteran option, you know, to compete with Tyrell Dodson and a draft pick, you know, for that other linebacker spot. We'll get into that in a little bit, but yeah, that's, John, if you think about it, I would say during the Bean McDermott era, I think that the biggest free agent name to leave the Buffalo Bills that the Bills have drafted, I'd say that's Tremaine Edmonds, and I don't think it's particularly close, because almost every other player that has been good and influential on this team, they've re-signed, and they've done a really good job of re-signing their own draft picks. I mean, you're thinking about, you know, the 2017 class, Deion Dawkins, Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White. You know, then you're also talking about, like players after that, Josh Allen, Taron Johnson, like all these guys that they've drafted and re-signed. Like, they've all been, like, they haven't let go of any really good players. And I think Tremaine Edmonds, maybe, like, I guess you could argue a little bit Harrison Phillips last season, but he was not at the level of Tremaine Edmonds at his own position. So I think this is definitely the biggest loss that the Bills have had. And we knew it was going to come, but still, it's the biggest loss that they've had. And it's significant because it's the only one that they've had of this importance. So I think that's why it stings a little bit more. And maybe that's why more people in the poll didn't give it like a great, you know, free agency grade, because 67% said gave it a meh, and then like 16% said great, and 17% said subpar. So you had most people hovering around the, yeah, they did exactly what I thought they were going to do, you know? All right, let's go. John and I are going to go. Ever since we talked last week, we did a free agency primer, Mike, John, and I, and I gave a quick spiel on Matt Milano signing a 2-year extension to go through 2026, which I kind of saw as the writing on the wall that they weren't going to resign Tremaine Edmonds. And, you know, I think it was pretty obvious, and it came to fruition. So ever since it happens, I'm going to go over the small ones. And John, if you want to jump in, feel free, but I'm just going to kind of list them. Tyler Medicavich, you just mentioned, he re-signed a 1-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. So core special teamer, the Bills have gotten back. I'd say, John, and this kind of goes into the fact that, like, the Bills re-signed punter Sam Martin, and it goes into other re-signings that we're going to talk to, but there was a lot of depth being added to the team, or, like, bringing back depth, I should say. Like, bringing back either starters or depth on special teams, and then some pieces to compete on offense. It's kind of like the theme of this year's free agency thus far. So, like, Tyler Medicavich is one of those. Core special teamer, linebacker depth. Punter Sam Martin, he signs a three-year deal. Like, but it's really, you know, it's really effectively a 1-year commitment that could last as long as 3 years, you know, if they wanted to. So, another great signing. I like Sam Martin, so I like it. He'll probably compete with another free agent or rookie or something like that. So, running back Nyheim Hines. He reworked his contract, so the Bills saved some cap space. By doing that, they saved $1.3 million against the cap with him reworking his contract, which we talked about them possibly cutting. But they obviously like him. Him, James Cook, will be on the roster this next season and potentially a draft pick. Now, John, this was initially my favorite signing for the Bills before Jordan Poyer got re-signed. It was guard Connor McGovern coming from the Dallas Cowboys, signed to a 3-year deal worth $23 million, which is the biggest deal in general for free agency for the Buffalo Bills. But I like this. I like this pick, this signing. When you saw that, and now that you've had a chance to think about it, what were your thoughts on this, on Connor McGovern probably being the next starting guard in place of Roger Saffold?
A little mixed. I do think it's an upgrade. I think Saffold lost a little bit with his age this past year. McGovern isn't that great against the run, but he has been good against the pass. And if we're looking at adding pieces to help Josh Allen, I think that's a net positive, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my thoughts on it. Didn't have a great run blocking grade in 2022. Had a really excellent pass blocking grade in 2022 at left guard. He was 13th among all guards graded. So obviously an upgrade over Roger Saffold in general, and then also, you know, on the pass blocking side particularly. In 2021, he played most of his snaps at left guard too, with some at right guard. And then in 2020, he played 99% of his snaps at right guard. So he played about 10% of his snaps at center in 2022. So you have right guard, left guard, center versatility. But it sounds like at this point he's going to be starting at left guard for the Buffalo Bills in place of Roger Saffold. I think Bean or McDermott mentioned at this press conference this last week that they prefer him to be left guard and keep Ryan Bates over at right guard. So, you know, there's things to take from that. He doesn't have a ton of experience. This was his, in 2022 was his first season fully starting. And there were some really good clips of him, you know, going against some really good defensive tackles like Vita Vey, I think even Aaron Donald at one point. I'm excited for this. I'm optimistic. I mean, I was optimistic when we talked about Roger Saffold coming to the Bills last season. But I think, you know, this guy has a lot more youth than Roger Saffold. I believe Roger Saffold's like 34. I mean, Connor McGovern's only 25. So the Bills have like the interior of their offensive line. They have starter level potential. It's just a matter of, you know, can they get to the next step? Like, would I have loved a guy that was, you know, a Ben Powers or someone like that from the Ravens? Sure. I mean, I don't think we were expecting that. But I like this. I like this. This is my second favorite free agent signing for the Bills. One of the other transactions after that is quarterback Case Keenum agreed to a 2-year deal with the Texans, therefore leaving the Buffalo Bills. It's kind of inconsequential. I didn't think he'd come back, but there's just confirmation. Cornerback Cam Lewis re-signs for a 1-year deal. So adding Cam Lewis back to the roster, more depth pieces in the secondary. Tremaine Edmonds agreed to the deal with the Bears, which we mentioned, a 4-year, $72 million deal. Josh Allen and Von Miller restructured their contracts this past week also to free up some more cap space. It's something that you know, we kind of mentioned in passing and the guys on the network have mentioned. Linebacker Tyrell Dodson, which John mentioned earlier, he re-signed a 1-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. Again, more depth and familiar faces along this. Now, this was something interesting, John, is that Dane Jackson was officially tendered to a 7th-round tender for the Buffalo Bills at a $2.7 million deal. And he ended up signing the tender, and the Bills are keeping him. I actually like this one, and we talked about this when we were talking about the Bills' unrestricted and restricted free agents coming up, is that, you know, $2.67 million or $2.7 million, rather, is kind of cheap for, you know, veteran cornerback depth that knows a system. Like, do I like it as a starter? No, I don't really like Dean Jackson as a starter. But I like him as a young guy who has familiarity with the system that can start in a pinch and, you know, be okay for the team. You know, I think he's maybe even slightly better than Levi Wallace or around that level, which I like Levi Wallace as well. He was just limited. I like them placing the tender on Dane Jackson. John, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I like it a lot. And I think it solidifies the cornerback unit as probably their best depth overall, I would say. You got Tre'Davious White, Kyer Elam, Taron Johnson plays a lot of nickel. Christian Benford's played well. Cam Lewis, Sarah Neal, Dane Jackson, like all these guys, I think that's probably their best unit.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking the same thing that you were thinking about this, you know, when you started mentioning all their names, I'm like, wow, this is probably their deepest group. I think this almost takes, I wouldn't say it takes cornerback off the board for the Buffalo Bills. I'd say the Dane Jackson move specifically takes it off of day one or day two as picks for the Buffalo Bills, unless it's amazing defensive back falls to the Bills, unless it's a guy that they could see playing safety maybe. But I think it almost does because they have all of these options now. I mean, Dane Jackson, if they keep Christian Benford at cornerback, could be the fourth cornerback on this list. And it's still a good depth option. You know, he did start most of the season last season. So I like that move. I think it takes quarterback off of the board for first, second, and third round pick. Maybe a fourth round pick or later. We'll see. The Bills restructured wide receiver Stephon Diggs' contract. After that, to make some more cap space, they got about $5.4 million in cap space from that restructure. And then this is an interesting pick, John. So at first, I wasn't really excited about it, but I think the more I talked about it, the more I thought about it, and the more I read about it, I liked a little bit more. I don't love it, but I like it a little bit more, John. And this is the Bills signed wide receiver / punt returner / kick returner Deontay Hardy to a 2-year, $13.5 million deal with the Buffalo Bills. So I'll start with you on this one, John. What were your thoughts when you heard about it, and do you like that free agent signing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's probably one of my lesser favorite signings. I don't know. The Bills seem to have this fascination with slot receivers and returners, and they don't always work out very well. examples, you know, McKenzie. Yeah, I love McKenzie, don't get me wrong. But he's had drops and or fumbles at inopportune times. And I feel like I've heard that Hardy has had fumbles as well.
Oh, yeah.
Returner in general for the Bills, they've had issues. I know they had Stevenson that 1 year, a couple other guys. Like Micah Hyde was like the only guy I would trust to catch a ball as a returner, but didn't want him to do that because you didn't want him to get hurt because you needed him to play safety. So, and then like from the slot perspective, you got Khalil Shakir, who I like a lot. I know they've had success in the past. The guys like Cole Beasley, McKenzie's been hit or miss. In my head, I was thinking an upgrade opposite of Diggs, not necessarily. I was thinking Shakir's going to take over the slot in my head, right? So what does this mean for Shakir? Are they going to roll with Gabe Davis again? I don't know. I still think they need to bring in another receiver.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I still think receiver is the number one need. How about that?
Yeah, I still think receiver is a huge need even after the signing. I didn't love it at first because when I first read it, I thought of him as only mostly a punt returner, a kick returner. And, you know, that was after they, you know, re-signed Tyler Matakevich and Sam Martin and stuff like that. And I'm just like, why do you guys keep putting so much emphasis on special teams? Not like they're not important, but I'd rather have a wide receiver that could never field a punt. I'd rather just take a fair catch every time than, like, you know, put so much emphasis on punt returning and kick returning, because in my opinion, like, there's such a small part of the game, you know, unless you're terrible at it or amazing at it one way or the other. But you mentioned Isaiah McKenzie having fumble issues. Dan Fates, which we've interviewed in the past, he's from Buffalo Plus. He meant to say, he tweeted this out, which was really interesting. He said, "I don't mean to be the fumble guy, but Deontay Hardy has 64 receptions and 15 rushing attempts, 79 touches in his career, and has fumbled the ball 9 times. 9. So, you know, you just have to hope that, you know, that he gets past that issue, because it does sound a lot like Isaiah McKenzie." And so I asked one of the folks I've really gotten to know and respect a lot on Twitter, through social media. He has a great podcast, the Locked In Saints podcast, and that's Ross Jackson. He's at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. And I asked him about the thoughts, you know, just in general. And he says, I asked if he's like, is he underutilized? Is he too injured? Because he did miss most of 2022 with a, I think it was a turf toe injury. And Ross Jackson said, "I think both can be true. He's dealt with some injuries throughout, but not necessarily related to his size, because he's only 5'6". He's like a, he's basically like Isaiah McKenzie, John, a lot like that. So perhaps things get better for him, but he's explosive and still has a lot to offer on the offensive side. Don't look at him as just a returner for sure." So then I mentioned, you know, what about the fumbles? Like, does that stick out in your mind when you think of them? And he's like, "Oh yeah, ball security was a big issue." You know, so it's an interesting, we'll see what it ends up becoming. But I know you mentioned, John, that you really liked Isaiah McKenzie. I liked Isaiah McKenzie too as a locker room presence, but I got to be honest, after 6 years or 5 or 6 years or whatever it's been with the Buffalo Bills, like, I haven't seen enough to keep him on this roster. And he did eventually get released. I know we're going to talk about that in a second, but this pick did seem like the writing was on the wall for Isaiah McKenzie to be let go.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, maybe they want to do, like, start 2 slot guys, you know, in a lot of formations. That would be something different. I don't know. I thought, like, last year they would do stuff, more passing plays for James Cook and that, or and Nyheim Hines for that matter, yeah. But that didn't happen either. So, and look at Dawson Knox. They extended Dawson Knox and they didn't target him as much. So, like, I don't really understand what their philosophy is. It can't just be Allen to Diggs every play.
Yeah.
They gotta mix it up. They got guys. It's just, or maybe they don't. Maybe they need more guys. I don't understand.
So Deontay Hardy didn't have great stats. I mean, he barely played in 2022. In 2021, he had really great player. He was third. He was one of the best in yards per reception in the NFL. He had an 87.8 overall grade at wide receiver. Like, that's really good at wide receiver. An 86.7 receiving grade, which, you know, when you think slot receiver as an upgrade over Isaiah McKenzie, and mind you, he played both slot and outside receiver in 2021, which was his biggest season. Hold on, let me get the exact snap counts here. So in 2021, he played 35% of his snaps at slot, and then 60% of his slot or his snaps at wideout. So he's actually not necessarily a slot guy. But we think about that because we think of Isaiah McKenzie, and that's where he lined up. Like, he could potentially do both. Now, how often do you want a 5'6", you know, boundary receiver? Maybe not all the time, but he can line up. Like, this might be that, you know, joystick kind of movable weapon that the Bills have always been looking for. And I think he brings some versatility, especially with the returning ability. He's fast as all hell. I think he's faster than even Isaiah McKenzie. And so, like, you've upgraded a kick returner, or at least punt returner, and you've potentially upgraded a, you know, slot or, you know, versatility wide receiver 4, I think, is what the Bills called him. So I don't think they necessarily even named him as you know, slot receiver or boundary receiver. He's just, like, you know, he can play wherever they need him to, like when they have 4 wideouts. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited. The more I think about it, the more I've talked myself into being excited for this signing. So we'll see. I mean, talked.
I wonder if, like, part of my thinking is I'm not sure how to feel about Dorsey yet, and like what his plan is ultimately.
Yeah, that's a big question mark that we can't really quantify through free agency or after until the season starts, right? Like I love that you brought up the we thought we'd see more, you know, running back passes. Like, I think that was something that was severely missing from Dable's offense, and we didn't see them that much this year, you know, with Ken Dorsey at the helm. And you have all these players that can take passes out of the backfield, and they never gave
them...
That
was one of Cook's biggest strengths. Like, when they drafted him, it's like, oh, he's a receiving running back, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. Instead, Knox. They don't throw it to him. Like, I don't understand.
It's like with James Cook, it was like, well, they don't want to rely on him, right? That's why they brought in Nyheim Hines, because, you know, they don't want to rely on just James Cook. Okay, so you have a veteran version.
They didn't throw it to Hines either.
Then they didn't do it with him either. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Ken? And so, yeah, that's that was... It was one of the more interesting signings. I like it for now, but I think I'm still thinking about it like a fan. We knew when we talked about this, like, last week, I believe, we talked about wide receivers. We didn't think the Bills were in the market for a big name like Jacoby Myers or whatever. And we weren't really in love with this class anyway. So we thought it would be more of a deal like a Mecole Hardman or something like that. And I think that's kind of, they just got their own specific version of that kind of receiver that doesn't have a ton of experience, but, you know, has some
maybe
promise.
They still get Beckham.
They could still get Beckham. They have about, I want to say, $7 million or so after the McKenzie cut, which we're about
that's
to...
That's enough to sign draft picks.
Yeah, but don't
get... about what they need.
they
sign... to make some other move.
They sign OBJ, so they have to, like, trade away all their draft picks this season so they can afford their roster. Yeah.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was the next signing. So Bills released Isaiah McKenzie. We kind of touched on that, but, you know, he's a good story. He's been with the team since 2018. Just didn't do enough, and they gave him chance after chance. He would earn it in training camp, and then it just couldn't show up when it mattered. And I think that's just, he was very easily tackleable, if that's a word. He wasn't big. He just, I don't know, he had all the promise. He just couldn't put it all together. Great locker room presence. We heard some great stories. I saw, I think it was Elena Gatzberg was talking about him over Twitter and saying that, you know, they were just talking non-football. And McKenzie was like, do you need to talk to one of the guys? I'll bring him over for you. Which it doesn't sound like it's very common in the media, which makes sense. Like, he seems like a genuinely nice guy. It just didn't work out. So we mentioned the Bills actually re-signed Dane Jackson after the tender. They released Isaiah McKenzie, which is kind of, so that's the last of the moves through free agency. But what's interesting, it's kind of funny. I know we were just talking about how cool Isaiah McKenzie is. It's kind of funny because he was mentioning, like, you know, BBB. He's like, what's going on? Time's ticking. Like, he did that over Twitter. And then, like, 2 days later, he's like, It's kind of like, man, I don't know if you should be talking about this year. Maybe we shouldn't say anything at all, you know. But we'll miss him. We'll miss him. So that was the last signing, John. So overall, you know, we gave our thoughts. There are several unsigned Bills free agents left over. We have Devin Singletary that hasn't signed with the team, Tywan Jones, Jamison Crowder, Jake Kumerow, Tommy Sweeney, tight end Tommy Sweeney, offensive tackle David Quessenberry, offensive tackle Bobby Hart. I think you said Justin Murray just got signed. So Roger Saffold is still out there at guard. Greg Van Roten at guard is out there. Shaq Lawson at end. Jordan Phillips at defensive tackle. AJ Klein at linebacker. Dean Marlowe at safety. And Jaquan Johnson at safety. All of those guys are still free agents, unsigned from the Buffalo Bills. If you could pick one of the players from that list of like 12 or whatever it is, which one of those players would you bring back and why?
That's tough. All right. Let's see. I kind of narrowed it down to three already. Okay. I would probably lean, well, I don't know. My first leaning is Shaq Lawson.
Okay.
I think he's,
it's a good one.
You know, he's been pretty, you know, solid against the run, you know. He's not going to, you know, get a lot of sacks or anything, but he's a good rotational guy, good depth. My other thought was Dean Marlowe. I thought he played well when he filled in last year when they had all the safety injuries.
Did that big interception against the Dolphins in the playoff game?
Yep, and they also don't have a lot of depth at safety anyway, so that would help. And then along the same lines with linebacker, they do have some depth, just maybe not. They have a lot of unknown as far as who might emerge as the number two next to Milano, but maybe AJ Klein potentially.
Mm-hmm. So would you say Shaq Lawson is your?
I would say
is your favorite.
I'd go Lawson.
So I like those picks that you had. I think my list, and I'll give my final right after this, is Devin Singletary. I liked him. I'm not going to choose him because I think they could upgrade at the position with some of the free agent names that are out there. Like, for example, I mean, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, Damian Harris, Jerick McKinnon. Like, these are names of guys that could potentially be better than Devin Singletary, Latavius Murray, J.D. McKissick, Kenyon Drake, you know, Justin Jackson. Like, there's
forget all those guys. They can draft somebody in the second half of the draft or an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
Dime a dozen. Forget it. I love Singletary. Great, great pass blocker. He actually had a lot of good catches for tough yards over the last season or two, too. And very efficient, good yards per carry. Love him. But I wouldn't spend a lot on running back.
No, me either.
Even if it's for $4 or $5 million, like they're already cap strapped, right? Just draft a guy on day two or three or undrafted, you know, like they have Cook, you know that he can run, he can catch. He needs to work on pass blocking, but I mean, they got Hines, like, you know, he can't have everything.
Yeah, with that, like you mentioned, they have like two similarly characteristically similar running backs in James Cook and Nyheim Hines. And I keep on saying it wrong, Nyheim Hines. And, like, if you think about it, John, like, Devin Singletary isn't the opposite of those guys. He's more opposite of those guys, but, like, I'm thinking, like, it sounds like they want a bigger running back than Devin Singletary is. You know, like, more of a plotter. Maybe that can also catch, maybe. But, like, you know, I don't know. You can't say Derrick Henry because he's kind of a unicorn at his position. But, you know, a guy that has... that could be bigger, that maybe isn't as versatile. And I think that you can get those guys at day three or undrafted in the draft this season. I think that they exist. You know, maybe you don't rely on him for more than, you know, 5 to 6 touches per game, you know, and maybe they're just short yardage at first and they go from there. But I think that there's options there. And I like the way that you're saying. So not Devin Singletary. I do like him. He's one of my favorites on this list, but I don't necessarily want him. Shaq Lawson is on my list. I like Shaq Lawson a lot as a rotational piece. For all the areas you mentioned, Dean Marlowe is a good pick too. I just think he's a little long in the tooth, but he does have that positional awareness and experience within, you know, Sean McDermott's system for all those seasons. I love Jaquan Johnson. I was really hoping he would show up this season with Micah Hyde going down. He was my favorite backup for like three seasons straight, and he just didn't do much with his choice. But I'm actually going to go defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. When he was healthy, I'd say he was playing almost at the level of Ed Oliver for a lot less money and a lot less recognition. And he just ended up, you know, barely hurting himself on that one play where he, you know, ran and fell on his shoulder, and he wasn't the same sense the rest of the season. But before that injury, John, well, even when Ed Oliver was out, I thought he looked tremendous. And I remember thinking, you know, I think it was either the first or second game of the season, it was either against the Rams or the Titans. Like this dude is, the Bills have legit depth at defensive tackle, and he was the reason why I thought that. I love the Daquan Jones, you know, signing from the season ago. I thought Jordan Phillips looked great next to him when Ed Oliver was out, and even as a rotational piece before he got injured. If Jordan Phillips is healthy and you can get him at a decent price, he's probably only a one-year signing, so that doesn't help for depth past this season. But I like Jordan Phillips. I think they're going to end up drafting someone to take over because Tim Settle restructured his contract, so you know he'll be here until after this season, or at least this season. So I think I'm going to go Jordan Phillips. I'm a Jordan Phillips guy. I mean, I like his attitude, and I think he played really well. So, John, that does it for free agency.
Well, I just
go ahead.
Real quick, I don't mean to criticize, but you mentioned when you were going through the names there, Dean Marlowe, long in the tooth. I believe Jordan Phillips is a few months older than Marlowe. And also considering that Marlowe is a safety, and we were both speaking very highly of Jordan Poyer, who's 2 years older, I just, you know, just wanted to point all that out.
Poyer older than Marlowe?
Yeah, Poyer's about to turn 32. Marlowe's 30.
Oh, okay.
Phillips is 30, but I think a couple of months older than Marlowe still.
Okay. Right, he's a...
So, you know.
Yeah, all right.
The long in the tooth comment to dismiss Marlowe. I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, I didn't think anyone would actually do any research while I was while I was reading that off or saying that. Okay, so I do like Marlowe. He wouldn't be my first choice, but I like him as a rotational depth piece, right? So I think I still lean. I mean, if you look at Jordan Phillips, his grades in PFF, like he had a 90 pressure rating. He had a 71.2 rush defense rating. I mean, he was good. I mean, there's some red in there from the middle of the season after he got injured, but I think it was against chasing after Patrick Mahomes. But other than that, I mean, he wasn't great, but he was solid. So, yeah, Marlowe, I mean, I kind of put Marlowe, Jaquan Johnson, those guys into the same bucket. So, yeah, okay with that. So, John, next week we'll go over the other free agent signings. Imagine they're going to I can't see them cutting anyone, but who knows? You never know. We'll talk about those signings, and then we're going to restructure our top needs list because that's going to basically dictate how we go into the draft this season. We're about a month and 5 weeks away from the draft, so this will be a great opportunity once we go through and we say exactly what our top four or five needs are. That's how we're going to base our draft picks for our mock drafts that we do live on the podcast, for the prospects that we're going to talk about from here on out. So that kind of sets the tone for everything. We're going to reshuffle those needs, and it's going to base everything that we do in free agency and going forward for the Buffalo Bills, because we know Brandon Bean likes to draft based on need, not just based on who he likes there, although he does that too. But it mostly has to do with a need that he either sees as like the primary need or one of those secondary or tertiary needs. So, yeah. John, is there anything else that you want to add that I might have missed in talking about this first week of free agency?
Oh, yeah. The only other thing is, so we talked about Beckham and the rumors there. At least I think we did. I also saw rumors that the Bills might be interested in Puna Ford, defensive lineman from Seattle. He's played nose tackle, defensive tackle, so something to keep an eye on. I don't know what, you know, how much that might cost, but another option there.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to talk about At least Odell Beckham. I don't know enough about Ford, but Odell Beckham Jr., if he's a Buffalo Bill by the time we're talking next week, because, you know, we have wide receiver is still one of our biggest needs, even though they signed Deonte Hardy. I don't think any of us thought that, like, this is a guy that can legit compete with Gabriel Davis as your wide receiver number two. And that's what we mostly had in mind, you know, either a star slot receiver or a boundary receiver that can compete with Gabriel Davis. And we don't have that yet. So it'll be interesting to see if Odell Beckham Jr. comes in. Then all of a sudden you're talking about knocking that need on our list of needs going into the draft. Like, I'd say 4 or 5 spots down. It's no longer a primary need anymore. It's going to be, you know, whereas like if they have Odell Beckham Jr., Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Deonte Hardy, Khalil Shakir, and then they end up drafting one on day one, you're kind of like, what are you doing? You know, like, what's going on here? I don't think that'll happen. I don't see them drafting or signing Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think they can afford him. I think there'll be a team that outbids the Buffalo Bills. But it'd be a fun thing to talk about. Would love to have it.
Maybe, but he's also hasn't been signed yet, right? And that was the whole thing with Poyer, right? Like, it was like a day into it, and even during the legal tampering period, you didn't hear anything about Poyer. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? The Bills get Poyer back. And then the next day they did. And look at Beckham. He'd be on a team if they were going to pay him.
Yeah.
Every day that goes by, his price goes down.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is only good for the Buffalo Bills. Maybe they get him on a 1-year, $5 million deal or something like that. You know, if you're getting offered that, I mean, if you're getting offers around $6 million or $5 million average, and one's for 3 years, one's for 2 years, one's for 1 year, and you have a 1 year offer from Josh Allen, wouldn't you rather take that over a 2-year, you know, $10 million deal from, I don't know, a team with a crappy quarterback? Because at least that 1 year deal could turn into, you know, a big contract after this 1 year if he shows up really well with Josh Allen. It'd be a smart play. But yeah, that's great logic, John. I think you're probably right there. Poyer's market went down.
The other thing too is he might be holding out for like a long term thing, because like I think that was one of the sticking points, at least during the season. I don't know if it was all like hyping himself up and everything, but that's going to be hard for other teams with like the injury and everything to commit that much. He might only be able to get a 1 year deal, maybe two, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Long in the tooth. How old is Odell Beckham Jr.?
30.
Okay. That's not bad for a wide receiver, though.
No. It's just the injury.
Which was an ACL tear in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was he injured before that, too? Or was that the only injury?
I think that's the only major injury. Yeah. Which is it's a huge injury. We saw with Tre'Davious White, it takes at least a year to come back. So, you know,
We'll see about Von Miller too, right? Like, I don't know about September.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, maybe
that pushes up defensive end a little bit on the board.
I know.
Jack Lawson.
I know. Well, what's funny is, you know, I've mentioned this before we started recording, but, you know, I've been doing some mock drafts, and, you know, there are some edge defenders that fall to the Bills at 27. And my first instinct is there's no way the Bills are going to take one. But if you think about the fact that Epinesa is gone after this season, if you think about Von Miller being out at least till Thanksgiving or so, I mean, why wouldn't you even entertain it? It's possible that he loves his defensive linemen in the first round. So first, second round.
Yes, because he keeps missing on them, so he has to keep drafting them.
If you keep missing on every one, you got to keep swinging at it to hope that you hit one out of the park.
I mean,
eventually.
Outside of Josh Allen, have they drafted any guys in the first round recently?
That have hit?
Not at all.
So, Greg Rousseau, because they lost the pick after, you know, they traded it for Diggs to the Vikings, so then they had Epinesa that draft in the second round. Then the next year they had Greg Rousseau in the first round, which I think is still a hit for where they picked him. Ed Oliver, still not excited about that pick yet, and I don't think I necessarily will be after this season. And then, you know, Kyrie Elam had a good end of the season last season, so we'll see where he stands after this year. But he's less likely to hit on a second round pick than a first round pick, but varied results for sure.
Yeah. So wait, I think I got it here. The last time the Bills drafted an offensive player in the first round that wasn't Josh Allen was Sammy Watkins.
Really?
So all the way back to 2014.
Wow. Okay. So I don't know if that means that we're due or it's unlikely that it happens.
And even the years that they didn't have a first round pick, their first pick in the second round was a defensive player, Ronald Darby and then Epinesa.
Mm-hmm.
So all defense for their first picks, except for Allen, and then Watkins was the last one.
Well, you know, at least with the, we were just talking about the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they have five or six all pros on the defensive side of the ball. How many do they have on the offensive side? Just, you know, I don't think Josh Allen's even been named all pro.
The thing, it's hard to be great or even really good on both offense and defense in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Josh Allen. Like, just surround him with guys so then you can just outscore your opponent, which is what the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Eagles are doing right now, right? Like, the Eagles had the best defensive line in football. Like, they had, like, one of the best sack, you know, seasons
by a lot,
of all time.
By a lot.
Top,
like,
top
yeah.
three.
Yeah.
Right? And didn't get any sacks in the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter. You got, like, everything's geared towards offense. Focus. They have the quarterback. They have the quarterback. Give him everything he needs. Screw the defense. I'm not saying, like, all right, don't screw the defense. But, like, an average defense is okay. If they score in every offensive possession, does it matter though, right?
No. I'm glad you reiterated that, because I kind of came away with, well, you know, maybe middle linebacker is one of their biggest needs, but it's really not. They should view this Connor McGovern signing and re-signing Ike Butker and all that as like depth. Plan that you can always get better at almost all positions. Maybe even left tackle and center. Like, don't look at the draft as just, you know, filling in the needs of like middle linebacker or safety depth or whatever. Like, look at it as like, we could get a starting receiver potentially even better than Stephon Diggs. Like, you have to think that way. You can't think that that's marked off my list. It's done. Like, we won't go after one of those guys on day one because of Josh Allen, because of everything that you just mentioned. You have the franchise quarterback, give him every opportunity. And that's what, I mean, just think about what the Kansas City Chiefs did for Patrick Mahomes, they basically traded away Tyreek Hill for a bunch of offensive linemen to protect him. And, you know, their secondary, I believe their entire starting secondary were rookies in the Super Bowl. But it didn't matter because, like you said, the Eagles defensive line, who had one of the best top three in the NFL in history, they could not get any pressure on Patrick Mahomes and they couldn't take him down. And it didn't matter because they had such a good offensive lineman. Creed Humphrey, a guy that the Bills passed up on for, you know, Boogie Basham, who can't even see the field, but whatever. I'm not bitter about that. But yeah, that's that thought process to think like defensive line as opposed to thinking protecting your quarterback, like doing just enough to protect him just above the bare minimum is not good enough. Well, this pot.
Yeah, that's why I still think their top two needs are receiver and offensive line, even though they already got one of each in free agency.
Maybe when
those are still the top two needs.
Maybe when we start doing mock drafts, we should do it based on what we think the Bills will do and what we would do. So each week when we get into the actual, and it's not going to be for a couple weeks, but like when we do the actual mock drafts here on the episode, we think the first one will be, what do we think Bean will do? And the second will be, what would we do if we had our way, which we know probably won't be what Bean does. But, you know, we could play out both scenarios and have fun with it.
Bean will take the best linebacker safety available.
Yes.
Probably linebacker.
Probably linebacker. Cool. Cool, John. Well, this has been a lot of fun, you know, talking. I'm glad you brought up OBJ and everything like that. Just to remind everyone, this episode is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. Like I mentioned, head on over to Waterloo, New York, and check out the DeLago Resort and Casino. There's a ton of great things there, from the food, the gambling, the sportsbook. It's just a great experience in general. Can't wait to go there in a weekend or two with my wife. It's going to be a fun time. We also have our TeePublic site, our TeePublic Bill Store, is on sale. The link's in the show notes. I think t-shirts are all $16. We have, I believe it's over 100 Bills designs now too. Everything from the Juggernauts to Matt the Missile Milano, like 5 or 10 or 15 different Josh Allen shirts, and then generic Bills shirts. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff there if you're a Bills fan. So hope you guys all enjoy that. John, signing off for you until we talk team needs and any other free agency news next week.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Looking forward to talking to you guys next week. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.